Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View podcast, episode number 107. It's quarter-final weekend in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship, and I'm joined by the lads here to preview a massive game between Tipperary and Galway. But first, we'll look at Tipperary's historic win over Offaly in what, lads, really was, I suppose, something that we can't really read too much into. Sean, we'll go to you first for your thoughts on what was, you know, a seven-goal Tipperary win.
It was like the lads in Premier View, the early week four, the lads saying win by 20, people were saying to kind of calm down, like, you know, but like the intensity of the Munster Championship, we just went into that game and cast it, go out and just win it, but it didn't stop, like, the foot was not off the gas, and like, off, they were just off, like, there was no two ways about it. Like, it's hard to know whether that game kind of killed us down a bit or helped us a bit for teams maybe that are sitting there for 3 or 4 week break, but it's hard to know. Like, you could see Jason Ford back in the field, you know, getting 2-11, Marco 3-3. But, like, to be honest, like, you could have put out fifth or second team there and soft and crowd to beat as well. Like, there's no two ways around. It's just a wonder.
Fourth or fifth team, I'd actually say, down as far as, to be honest, like, because it was such a beating. Like,
yeah, there's just, but like, where's the, like, at least got lads back on the field. We said it's getting lads playing, they probably hadn't played a few games. And win comprehensively, like, you know, if we just won by 3 or 4 points and we'd be sitting here today going, Jesus Christ, but like, job was done, went out there, like, kind of do all the Kenny teams there for years ago, and that one just hammer teams, like, you know. I know.
It was a nuisance of a game, though, wasn't it, lads? It was a nuisance of a game.
Yeah, I just finished off, the weather was off, it was just in the way, but it's getting ones in play, and we can't take that now, to be honest, but rather than lads just getting games, that was it.
Stephen, like, again, you know, it's a short turnaround all the same now, Saturday to Saturday, like, you know.
Yeah, I suppose what the only thing I take from the game, two things. It got lads back on the field, but it also showed, for want of a better word, the professionalism. They, look, as you said there, it could have been the fifth best team in Tipperary, could have took the field against Offaly and they probably would have won the game. But the boys now are playing for position this weekend, and if you're going to just go out and go through the motions last week, you probably wouldn't be considered this weekend. So, you know, they showed a good professionalism. Jason Ford's on the field. He looked, you know, he looked sharp. He looked hungry. I know people say it is very easy to look sharp against Offaly. I could have looked sharp myself maybe. But look, they had a job to do. They went out to do. If they played in third gear and we only wouldn't be 10 points or something, you know, you'd have question marks and all this. But, you know, they had a job to do. They went out and did it properly. And I suppose that's the positives. That's the real good stuff I take from the weekend heading into this weekend. And it's nice to shake off a few cobwebs now leading into the Galway game.
Problem, a dose of realism, please. Conceding 3-18 against Offaly. And, you know, also that back line still looks a bit vulnerable. I know there's a Johnny Murphy special in there as well. But big score to be conceding nonetheless.
Yeah, big score to be conceding, Kevin. I suppose the only thing I'd say about that, though, is like the game was over after 10 minutes. Literally, it was over after 10 minutes. So, like, it's very hard for a team when there's nothing really at stake anymore. Like, our lads absolutely busting themselves to win the next ball. Our lads throwing themselves at everything to win the next ball. If the game was tighter, we probably would have conceded less. I just felt that it became just a kind of a lackadaisical challenge match for a lot of the game. You know, so... And two of the three goals came from frees, don't forget, as well. You know, and I know, like, one of them certainly, the penalty, I thought was a Johnny Murphy special. I'm not sure if that's a penalty. You know, something similar happened to Jake Morris in the second half and no penalty given. And you usually find in the latter stage of the championship that those penalties aren't given. So, you know, two of them were for placed balls. You know, maybe there's a question mark about whether our goalie could have stopped one of them. I'd be interested to hear particularly Stephen's take on that. I thought maybe there he could have, but there was a few things just like maybe to mention. Like I went there thinking it's the aptitude and sort of the attitude that I was looking to see. What was that like? And to be fair, it was spot on right from the very first minute, right actually from the warm up. They looked up for it. They looked ravenous. They weren't taking this game lightly at all. And they went about their business in a really good way. And like, you know, you have to pay tribute to Seamus Callanan as well. Was that 40th championship goal, I think, Kevin, last Saturday evening. Like that's a record total for any player in championship hurling. Like, so, you know, I just like to mark that event and mention it. You know, fair play to Shamey. He has been an all-time great for Tip now. He's on the go since 2008 with us. And, you know, I thought it was one of the biggest cheers of the day was when he got that goal. As a supporter, look, like you have to take a bit of joy when we win. Like, so, we went up there, we beat who the lads tell me are noisy neighbours. I don't know anything about Offaly or how noisy they are, but those North Tip boys tell me that they're quite noisy. We put them back in their box. We scored a record championship score of 7.38. So, you know, they're all good things to take from it. I take your point completely about the 3.18, but it just kind of galls me at times, Kevin, that, you know, the minute the game was over, it wasn't even 5 minutes of well done from people. It was like, oh, geez, we conceded 3.18, or we didn't do this and we didn't do that. Like, I don't know, are people ever happy, you know? So, look, it is what it is now. Obviously, next, like, that game is put to bed, and next Saturday, you know, completely new ball game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think along with, you know, Tip scoring performance, maybe, you know, Craig Moran going off. I know it's kind of not as bad as first feared, but I think it was good to get a run into him. But I think maybe, again, a week-long break in the championship would be a lot to ask, Stephen, if you know, for him to turn around and maybe start again.
Yeah, especially after such a serious and long injury. And look, I suppose if from the immediate selfish point of view, let's call it, we'd love to see him on the field next week. But we also want to have Craig Morgan on our team for the next 10 years. So we don't... You know, I know the medical team and all that, and they're top class, and they'll know best how to go about their business. You know, but when we as fans were itching to see him back on the field, because what we seen last year was like, you know, he was one of the positives of last year. We know he's an excellent hurler. We know he's going to make a massive contribution to Tip. So for the next few years, so we don't want to flog him after such a bad injury. A lot of lads don't come back after these type of injuries, you know. They don't come back to their old self. So, look, as much as maybe coming on to help see out a game or, you know, managed correctly, he probably won't see a whole heap, you know, because you'd probably be expecting now this weekend now to be as hot as that we've seen so far this year from a Tip perspective. So, Look, I suppose Craig Morgan's long term, we have lads there that are fully fit, that they have all the games under their belt. So, you know, the medical team will probably say, look, he might not be ready for it. Especially, look, although he came off last week with what we thought was a serious injury, it's not as serious, but you don't want to be tempting fate here. So, you know, I'd be surprised to see him start next week or this weekend. If he does, brilliant, great, because he's a fantastic hurler and he'll hold his own against anyone. But I reckon it'll be a toss-up now between Johnny Ryan say his name for me.
Connolly,
yeah. You know, this weekend.
It was done well, you know, again, the last, very hard to judge. And I suppose, look, I take Colin's point there that you can't be too negative. I'm delighted that Tip got a bounce after the Waterford game. You know, I just hope that they're going to raise it again. And
I wouldn't be overly worried about the scores conceded because, as Colin said, the game was over after 10 minutes. So the same intensity, like, as I said, for me, it was a professional job done. But the same intensity, same championship intensity is not there. Was never going to be there, no matter how hard they tried. You know, like, it became a training a high intensity training session. That wasn't the championship match. You know, it does headline the championship match. But like, if we're honest, that game should never have been taking place. And it might sound controversial, but just to be a hurling snob, if you're not beating Carlo in the Joe McDonagh Cup, you should not be playing the third place team in Munster. You know, and that's even to look at the lads man for man, it looked like a senior against an under 20 team. You know, they weren't even physically at the races, never mind on the scoreboard or anything like that. But I wouldn't worry too much about the scores conceded. You know, it's this week is when we'll have to worry about the scores conceded, and I think we'll be a little bit more sharper this weekend.
I was on Sean, I suppose, before we leave the preliminary quarters, and I suppose you'd probably agree, like, not all championships or not all provisional championships are created equally. And, you know, you have the third place Leinster team, Dublin and Carlo, having a much more even game, which, you know, was back and forth. Carlo well in that game for a while. Is there a case maybe for, and again, they'd hate this in Leinster, especially if Galway come out and beat Tip and if Dubs cause a shock against Clare, but like, you just have the Joe McDonagh's winners going through to play the third Leinster team every year now. And with Munster, you're more battle hardened, you get the benefit maybe of being put straight through to a quarter final or something like that.
Yeah, like Cork will almost be watching that match last game going, what the fuck? Like, you know, how are we not playing? Something has to be looked at again, it's about promoting the game, but there's the level is so far off. Like Dublin, to be fair, only pulled away in the end, like, because I kind of fallen out there on Twitter there. And there's a few points and goals at the end, but they weren't pulling away like Tip did in the first half and game was over. Like, Carlo were thereabouts, but Dublin always had it. But I do say, like, you lose Joint on a Cup and your reward is to play a third place Munster team, like Cork and Waterford are sitting there. Like, you know, it's something has to give there. Like, but we see this again. Like, if we can get a good win over Galway and if Clare can get a good win over Dublin, like, that could say, like, you know, there's the writing on the paper. Like, that's what it needs to be looked at. But something has to give, because again, that game last week, they only got maybe injuries out of it. And like Craig Moran come back from a crucial injury. There's always that fear of a hamstring after a crucial. It's, I guarantee you, if you go back to the record books there, lads that come from a crucial, they'll do some of the hamstring in the following game. It's known, like, it's just, that's the way it is. Like, so it's not too bad by our course, but still,
yes. Yeah, if you know, it's critical, maybe you could have whipped them off a couple of minutes before that, but
yeah. But then you want to get gain time into him, and again, that, you know, it could kind of be a leisure more than normal. But I doubt we'll see this again, but you never know.
Yeah, absolutely right, lads. Different kettle of fish this weekend. Needless to say, we're in a double header. Clare versus Dublin is the warm up act. Won't get predictions on that yet, but I suppose we had the trilogy against Galway 15, 16, 17. A lot of those players still involved. Next Saturday, I think some shape or form, Jesus, is going to be white hot, isn't it? I can really see this one kind of getting going. It's going to be a cracker of a game.
I don't think we can let McKenny do what Galway did in the first 10 minutes against the final year, let him out of the blocks, went 6-7 points up there. Like, Conor Whelan there wasn't a lad. I don't know whether Brian Lowen picked with Mark Conor Whelan because it was fucking scandalous. Like, you know, he was getting free from the park. But the ball into him was exceptional as well, this thing. Like, but still, he got 1-7 from play. Like, he knew where the ball was going. It was going to Conor Whelan, like, and they still couldn't hold him out. But then again, they were 8 points down, went 2 up, 10 point swing. What's that show in Kenny like? So,
yeah,
I think after a matchup strike on your first thing.
They're so hot and cold, aren't they? That's Galway.
Yeah, you just don't know. Like, Galway could be they could be brutal, but come out against Tip and then they could be amazing. You know what I mean? And then they could be in a run of form where you think these are going to win an All Ireland here, and then they could absolute tank. Like, you know, it's a hard one. You know, it's as I said, Galway are so unpredictable that you just don't know what's going to happen Sunday. I think if we take care of our own business, as Sean said, and get the matchups right, I'd be confident of Tip getting through this. But as I said, as Sean said, you can't let him get ahead of steam. You can't let him get... Because I think at this level, at this late stage of the year, if you're letting teams get 6, 7, 8 points on you, you know, you're going to find it extremely difficult to claw that back now, because we're in the business end now, you know. Like, there's not the old... I'll probably put disrespect on the Leinster final there, but the two teams only dawdled along through Leinster. You know, had a little duke out in the Leinster final. But reality is they didn't need to be ready until now. You know, and that's I believe could come back to haunt them a small bit. As I said, Tip will be battle hardened after the Munster Championship. Will Galway be battle hardened for those last 10 minutes? You see how tired both teams got in the Leinster final, and you know, not so much to kick the world if a kick straight to Killian Buckley, but the defensive play just before us, where it was McInerney had the ball and he turned to face his keeper, took a touch on the hurley, turned back out the field, and still couldn't get a shot away at the strike away. You know, if he'd lifted that ball and struck it, game over, Galway win the game. You know, silly decision so late in the game because they weren't battle hard and ready for that Leinster final, you know, and I think that's where Tip could hopefully.
But that's it. I mean, we're on top. About stopping Galway with a, you know, getting a fast start. Surely Tipperary have to be looking to get out the blocks, and really, like, there's a lot of fragile confidence, you think, there now. You know, that's their last play, that's their last act from the last game. So they didn't have a game to get that, a soft game to get that out of their system.
I think,
go ahead, Colin.
Yeah, Stephen, I'm actually completely agree on what you're saying there. Like, I think if you look at Tip and Galway getting to their top level from what we've seen this year, I think Tip will win. All things being equal there, you know. So, like, Tip have went to Cork and drew at the All-Ireland champions, beat Clare, who are, you know, everybody's dark horse now for the All-Ireland. Okay, had a bad day against Waterford, which we've been through, and then blew Offaly away last week. You know, Galway have probably hurled two good halves throughout the whole Leinster Championship. You know, so if you're to take it like that, it lines up as a Tip win. Now, James Skehill probably won't thank me for saying that, and it'll give him another opportunity to tell the whole world how much everybody, including himself and Galway, hates Tip, which is, you know, but that's fine. I mean, like, we've played them 31 times in Championship hurling. We've won 22, they've won 9. If we had a record of 22-9 against the county, I'd probably hate that county as well. So, you know, that poor mouth that he's putting on, and that two chips he had on his shoulder are very easily explained when you look at those statistics, you know. So all things being equal, Kevin, I think if we go about our business, the lad said, if we get our matchups right, there's no reason why we can't win this one. And just to finish, last point I'd make, I saw somebody say today, against Liam McCarthy teams in our last 10 games, we've won once. We need this.
Yeah.
We need a statement win on Sunday, I think, now. You know. So, you know, there's a bit of pressure maybe on Liam and the boys to, you know,
yeah,
to do
I think
that.
That's regardless, would you say, if we win on Saturday, it's been a good year. Like, it's been an acceptable kind of year.
Oh, definitely progress.
I know I said
no, have to be discussed.
Yeah.
Like, you do, like, and what we've given him Munster by the Wolf game for beating this guy, like, barely.
I think that pace.
Well, I've got it shown, like, as in they didn't, like, they haven't shown it as it, two good halves of Ireland, like, potting around, like, you know, they missed the ball in the corner. They couldn't pick a ball up in the corner flag, or someone hadn't been clever enough to stand on the ball, or even kick over the end line, or foul the ball. The game was over. Like game management there was awful. Like, they're like no more centimetre.
Yeah,
it's a crutch game for Sheffield. Sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
That's the point I was trying to make, Sean. Because they had so many easy games in Leinster, when they had to make a tough decision under duress, tired, they couldn't make the most basic decision. Kick the ball out for a sideline. Kick it out for 65. Put the ball in your hand and take 40 steps. Like, you know, these things, everyone gets tired as well, but when you're battle-hardened, you make the right decisions because it's what you're doing constantly, consistently, you know, and I think that's this could like the easy passage through the Leinster Championship for both teams. This could come back to haunt them in the All-Ireland quarterfinals and semifinals for Kilkenny. I think with Tip, we have a lot of fear of lack of pace in certain areas. But up top, we're electric. You know, we've pace, we've power. Jason Ford back as he's moting around the park. If we can get the head of steam early, lads. Galway could wield
as well, was firing him over last Saturday.
Yeah, you know, and look, I know it was against Offaly, but when he's hitting his angles, when he's hitting his shots like that, you'd be kind of thinking, you need to start shooting more, like, you know, because it's another weapon, you know, and like up top, I think from our perspective is where the obvious choice to score more, like, but where we can really hurt Galway is the pace and directness that Liam Cahill brings to the team anyway.
Galway don't strike me as a particularly pacey team anyway, lads, from what I've seen of them this year, you know, so.
No, like it goes back to, you know, what I said, maybe a lot of their players are around since 2015 under Micheál Donoghue as well, like, you know, so that they're more, they were like the prototype Limerick back then, weren't they? Like kind of big and powerful, and they haven't got any faster since then, so a lot of them.
Yeah, and you know, like Limerick didn't exactly race through us either, like, you know, we batted down the hatches for Limerick, and, you know, and like even in the game that shan't be mentioned anymore against Waterford, like, you know, Waterford didn't really look like opening us up a load of times or anything like that. It wasn't pace that beat us against Waterford particularly, you know, it was just a kind of a systems malfunction, whatever you want to call it. And actually, the more I look at the Waterford game as well, the team that took the field last Saturday, regardless of who the opposition was just a way better team. It had much better, you know, every line in the field was stronger last Saturday to me, regardless of who we were playing. And you know, it might be just coming right for Liam on Saturday that he'll pretty much, you know, from what we can hear, notwithstanding Craig Morgan going off on Saturday, pretty much have a full deck to play from, you know, to pick from. So, you know, he'll be as close to a starting 15 now as he's been all year. So I think that's a positive as well.
Yeah, and that guy's just on that, you know, I suppose there's a couple of question marks on Rhys Shelley, after the Waterford game, whether he kind of changed goalie again. I think Rhys probably has it. The jersey for the rest of the campaign now?
Yeah, I'd agree on that. I think it's Shelley at the moment, honey. Yeah.
I will say that, like, you know, every game Cal has sprung some sort of lineup surprise. I think we haven't guessed the lineup right once, you know, that, which I think
no one has.
Yeah. There's always been something in there saying, oh, geez, that's a bit of a pullback. I suppose you'll have Breen in there with a combination. Maybe we'll leave Morgan on the line.
Yeah, Barrett probably.
Barrett back in?
Barrett, yeah.
Back in half, some combination of Ronan, Dan, McCormick, O'Mara.
Yeah, depends on, will Seamus Kenny drop back to mark someone as well? You know, that Seamus Kenny coming in on there from corner back to corner forward, like, this stage.
Tough on young Connolly if he gets dropped, lads, wouldn't it? You know, he hasn't done a whole lot wrong.
Yeah, no, absolutely, but, in fairness, yeah.
I wouldn't see that decision as an easy target. I'd see that decision, if he is dropped, it's simply because the lad that came in is doing slightly better in training. I think, as we alluded to there, we haven't been able to pick a team previous to the next game start because you just don't know what's happening, and which I think is great. You know, if we knew our first 15 bar the odd playing exceptionally well, that means there's no competition from the bench, you know, and we want competition from the bench. So when a lad is starting that we, or when a lad is, I won't call it dropped sounds like a person done wrong, but if someone gets a surprise start, you'd be thinking that's literally coming from what's been done on the training field, and I don't think you can ask for any more than that.
And to be fair, Stephen, I thought two players came in last Saturday. I thought Johnny Ryan did well when he came in. He has the kind of a young Cathal Barrett look about him. You know, he's kind of tigerish and just gets on with it. And he doesn't matter who he's marking or what size of a lad he's marking. He just gets stuck in. And John McGrath, you know, again, look, I know you're going to throw the opposition at me and the, you know, who they were playing, but he came in, he got a goal, he set up a goal, you know. Not a bad man to have coming back into a bit of form maybe now, fitness coming right, you know, mightn't start the game, but you wouldn't mind seeing John McGrath come in with 15 minutes to go, lads, would you? You know, he'd be details come in. Like, so again, I take that as a positive. Yeah, you do need that, Kevin. So I take that again as a positive from last Saturday, you know, to see those two lads come in. And obviously Gerard O'Connor is you know, rumors of his demise have been greatly exaggerated. And he looks like he's back fit as well. So, you know, again, another option. He's a ball winner. He's good on the freeze, you know. So, again, giving you another selection dilemma as you go through the rest of the team as to what it'll be, you know.
And I think that's maybe the question there, drop is the wrong word, but the holes, Shamey, Callanan, and like Bonner's there as well, who didn't feature last Saturday, you think, as well for more of an impact role.
Yeah, I think Shamey will be held. I think he'll be held. I'm not going to use the word dropped. I think he'll be held, and I think you will see him on the. You will see. I like John McGrath as well. I think you will see both players on the field of play at some stage. I just think the lads they'll go with, he'll want to go for the juggler straight off the bat, like, you know, hard running, high intensity, direct, and you know, I if you're going to put Shamey in that situation from the get go, you know. We have to be honest, he's in the wrong side of 30, like, you know, and the same energy and intensity is not there as it was a couple of years ago. But if you're bringing him off the bench with 15, 20 to go, you know, when the intensity is not as high, like, you know, he's the championship top scorer ever from play. You know, if you're a full back there and you're kind of tired leading into the last 15 minutes, you do not want to see him coming near you.
Absolutely. And as I said, like, you know, one of the strong points of this Tipperary regime is the strength and depth in the forward line, you know. So it's just looking at the list of players there. I don't think we mentioned Conor Bowe as well. I don't know availability wise for him. Gerard O'Connor has another week's training, hopefully done. So definitely an option. John McGrath, tad in. Mark Keogh, obviously, his confidence must be sky high. So he's probably nailed down as well.
Go ahead, Sean. Sorry.
Sorry, just saying there. One that I'd like to see starting is Bonner, centre forward, because he just annoy Galway. Like, they've lad trying to take time the ball and Bonner being their face. Like, that's what I think I'd start, man, just to get into Galway's face. It's no, that's what he does. He runs it down.
Sean, I think, like, you know, again, that he didn't feature at all last week, and that Shamey was maybe left on that little bit longer than you might expect if he was going to start. You know, as I said, a lot of the 30s this week, so maybe I'm reading way too much into that there, but I think you could be right with that. Like, we'll see in the next day or so when the lineups come out.
And midfield wise, probably Noel and Tynan, that'd be probably.
Noel Tynan, Connor Stakelin would be.
Connor wing forward, or is Noel wing.
Around the middle somewhere, yeah.
Three of them. Like, if we've some kind of pick there, do we say that lads off the bench could spring in there? That could make, like, if you're starting, say, Bonner. Could like John McGrath and Shamey Callan off bench come in, like they're game winners, like, no matter what you look at.
Absolutely. Predictions, lads. First, we'll go with the warm up act, the All Ireland champions elect, Clare versus the Dubs. And you see a shock here before I ask you for your predictions?
No, I don't see a shock. I don't see a shock here at all.
I think the only shock would be if, having all the given out we've done about Leinster hurling all the year, if any of us actually went for Dublin to beat Clare. And as I said, I've got a couple of good friends in Dublin who eagerly listen to this every week to hear us. They have no interest in Tipperary. They just want to hear us giving out about Leinster hurling are waiting for us to fall flat in our faces. So in the interest of consistency, I'll continue to back against the Leinster team and say Clare to win. Now, like, the other thing to remember about the Tip Galway game is not only will we have the Galway fans shouting against us, Clare fans will rapidly shout for Galway as well. And, you know, I'm never a big fan of double headers in general myself, to be honest with you. I find there's a lot of coming and going and to-ing and fro-ing during the games if you're trying to watch them. And it's bad enough having to deal with the James Schehels of this world, you know, and his ilk around you, but having to deal with Clare fellas around you as well, it's going to make a testing afternoon.
Yeah, that's the social lads, that, Colm. I'm not so sure about that. For the Clare lads now, who do they hate more?
Oh, I'd say Tip. Oh, over Galway, Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh,
depend kind of what, would it not be a kind of Tip scenario where if they're closer to the Galway border, they'd be our natural enemy?
After look at Twitter, sir. Jesus Christ, they're fucking savages.
No, I think
lads on it now. That'll be their task.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Clare lads would sort of have this weird kind of kinship with their fellow West of Ireland folk, and they seem to have supported Galway when, in the good old days, when Clare were only had their traditional music or whatever it was to keep them occupied. So I think you'll find most Clare lads will be supporting Galway.
Well, I suppose that's what I suppose the thing about Offaly supporters, look, they get to do it all over again this Saturday when shouting against Tip. So
Did you see the highlights on the television? There was a guy sitting in a Kilkenny jersey in a very prominent position in the stand. So, you know, I thought it was very appropriate
this time of year for
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, sorry. That's a long-winded way of saying I think Clare would beat Dublin on Saturday evening, Kevin. Sorry.
Yeah, an all-known form. I think anyone want to disagree with that?
No, like Dublin don't win these games. They don't know how to win these games.
They're
ahead in the game. They could be 10 points up in this game and lose by 20. This is like... You see it even this year in Leinster. They're beating teams. Jeez, like, I'm in a group chat there a lot, lads, and you'd always get texts every year. Jeez, Dublin are 7-0. By the time you turn on, they're 7-down.
Yeah, they must have been 10-up against Galway at one stage.
Like, they don't win these games. They don't... Just, I don't know what it is, to be honest. I just can't try what to do, but they won't win. They're by 7 or 8, pulling away, just easy.
Yeah, I'd go a bit more than that, actually. Yeah, pulling away at the end. Stephen, same.
Yeah, I think they're going to win comfortably and they won't man-mark Tony Kelly, and we're going to have to watch Tony Kelly clips all week now on social media, RTE News, all this and that.
Shane Downing with his iPad showing us, now this is Tony Kelly now getting points. Look, the iPad saves his fucking arms.
He's going to score a point off his right side on the sideline at 21, and it's going to be heralded the greatest point ever. And we're going to have to listen to it for the week. But yeah, Clare handily enough.
Fair enough. We probably want him to win the grand scheme of things. That if we do, if our interest does in this championship does go beyond Saturday anyway, to get, and I'm saying this for all the listeners with inverted commas here, but to get the softer semi final. But we'll come to that. The big one, lads. Sean, I'll go to you first. Tip Galway. Jeez, I presume it's going to be 4 Tip wins here. But
yeah, Tip by, I think, 5 points. Mark, your score, 2-5.
That's a big call.
Yeah, I'll go Tip, as I said earlier on. If you look at the season so far, Tip have been a little bit more consistent in the championship. The problem with all of this, of course, is, as we know, championship games, and particularly All-Ireland quarterfinals, can take on a life of their own, and sometimes everything that's happened before just goes completely out the window. Tactics go out the window. Matchups go out the window, and it's just who feckin' wants it more at the end. And any Liam Cahill team that I've ever seen always wants it. So I'll give Tip
Galway as well.
Yeah, I'll give Tip a tentative vote, Kevin. And I would just mention on Mark, like 3-3 was great against Offaly. We really need him now to follow it up again on Saturday and have a good game. You know, I think he's been a little bit hot and cold in his Tip career. I don't think I'm being controversial by saying that. And he's a lovely chap, and I really want him to do well. Yeah, but I think he has been a little bit hot and cold. You know, we really need him now to step up, himself and Jake on Saturday. You know, and if they do, I think we'll win.
I go with Tip after extra time. I'm going for a real edge of the seat stuff.
He's not even training to catch home. Jesus, Kip.
I have a wedding to be at, so I'm going to get time.
You might get sick next time in the bar, so.
Yeah, exactly. Stephen, last up.
I'm going to go with a tip win. If we don't give Galway a head of steam early in the game, I think our forwards have the potential to go to town on the Galway backs. And I think our goal men this Sunday or Saturday will be Jason Ford and Jake Morris. I think we'll bang two each.
I like the specifics of that.
And back also, no goal score now. So Jesus.
And also a big shout out to the Camogie. They had a very good win against Dublin in the Rag a couple of weeks ago. Now they're playing Wexford in round two. That's actually in Enniscorthy. I think that's on Saturday as well. So very best of luck to them. We're keeping a close eye on them this year. Seem to be building a nice team there.
What do you make of the Camogie and LGFA stance during the week there, on it?
The amount of them that think it's actually just all one body, the GA, is a bit annoying that they're not being clear in the communications that this isn't actually a GA problem where the men are stopping the women from getting their dues or whatnot. Like, but again, that could be a bit controversial.
Well, yeah, but I don't know what they're doing though. They're playing with protests, but like, I know what they're actually going to kind of, how are they going to show it? Like, are they not going to go train once a week? Are they going to not show up for press meetings? They don't really say what they're kind of doing. Kind of more help us out kind of thing.
Work to rule kind of thing, isn't it?
I think the only way they're going to get progress. Look, their organisations are terrible. There's no communication with them. There's no care. We'll put on the Camogie and you can do what you want with the football, it seems to be. And vice versa. I think the only way they really get change is, never mind that we play through a protest. Protest, don't play. Give the organisation the games. I know that might sound extreme, like, but these ladies, like we've mentioned this before, like these ladies have, you know, their organisations are failing them badly, you know, with fixtures, with logistics of fixtures. Jesus, like there was when they're the senior Camogie All-Ireland final or something between two, they were both made travel about 200 or 300 miles or something to play a match in Wexford when it was totally the opposite side of the country. Like,
call off from the north, yeah.
There's probably a lack of fields all around the country but
you don't have to travel that. Like, there's something somewhere, you know. But I just,
but you're dependent on the goodwill of different organizations, even.
Exactly. And their own organizations are failing them. And I think the only way for change to come is, you have to make a big statement, not something you read out on a piece of paper. Put down the gear bags, leave the boots in the car. Don't play it, you know. And I think until that happens, their own association is just going to continue to fail them because they won't work with the other association.
Yeah, it's probably the people over them as well. More than that, they're the elephant in the room. Like, it's blatantly obvious from like the players coming out, but no one else from either their side is coming out. But it's kind of their own problem that they made, but their own organisation ain't helping them. As you said, Stephen, like, they're failing themselves. Like, you know, if they try and put a plan together themselves and see, but not even trying their own organisation. They're fixing games wrong time, double-crossing games. Like, not even giving a player a chance to play both games or clashing. Like, that's where a lot of issues is.
On to the main event of the night, lads. I suppose while you're all enjoying your split season in the mid, the north and the west, we're mid championship here down south, where it's a very, very busy weekend because I have, I think, tip on Saturday. And then you probably have the biggest inter-county weekend of the GA season with the preliminary quarterfinals in football as well, split over the 2 days. And I think Mayo Galway is on Sunday now as well.
Yeah,
but you'll also have a South Senior hurling semi-final.
What a fixture.
But for Kevin, don't you have to give credit to the South Board, like, for being able to run off their fixtures so quickly and so efficiently? Isn't that what it's all about? Like, you know, it's,
I don't know, they're looking for the best boys in the class there now, but if I was a player and you're on your holidays or whatever.
Like, they can't even enjoy themselves Saturday. Like.
Exactly, yeah. It's just, and the thing is with the South Senior is that St. Mary's are in it, and obviously Seamus involved with So you can't play that semi until after Tip are out anyway. So there's no way you can run more of that championship off.
But the other
aspect then, Stephen, I still haven't seen, or like the cat that got the cream there into another South final there. But I actually haven't seen a report from that match. You know, the promotion of it, it was taken up on Twitter. Someone had a very good tweet up. It's like, out of your seven main games, there's been no actually bringing the players together for any sort of launch or whatever like that. You know, you could do a nice job on the divisions if you waited. You know, a bit of kind of ingenuity. Premier View podcast would love to do something kind of like, I'm sure, on the divisions and all that. But there's been nothing. You can't even get a report or a preview in the paper. Because this is the season, lads, isn't it? There's only so much EA space. And
The promotion of it is extremely poor. You know, I'll talk about the timing of it in a second. Like, but look, Championship weekend last weekend, there was a quarter-final between Ballingarry and Skeena Rinkie and a semi-final between ourselves and Ballybacon Grange. Barely a peep about it. This weekend, then you have the senior semi-final, while they also have to wait for the other senior semi-final, which, as a Tip person, we hope we won't see for a long time.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, worst case scenario is Tip go out. It's Saturday. All right, sorry. Tip go out, and then you have a free month to play these games. Like, give everyone a chance. If Tip get through, then you know you have the Sunday in 2 weeks to give teams a chance. At least tell them you have the full 2 weeks. It'll be on the weekend of the semi-final. So you're giving them 2 weeks extra. I just can't understand the rush to play these games.
Exactly. The South Board have such a bad rep down the years for getting games played that it feels like that, look, lads, let's sneak these games in now and no one can tell about us this year. Well, that's where they're wrong, because you have 3 summer months, you have June, July and August for families to go on holiday, right? If you're a hurler, you can't go anywhere in July and August. You know, we're in a split season and July and June is supposed to be part of the inter-county season. So if you're a hurler, you're thinking, I'll dag off in June. I'll go away with the family. I'll go away with the partner. That's, you know, that's the time. And in our club, and I'm sure in every other club, you tell the lads, if you're going to go in June. And lads are booking holidays, and they probably have these holidays booked now since January. Not everyone can afford to book a holiday 3 weeks in advance. And to throw on these fixtures in June like that made absolutely no sense whatsoever. You know,
that's,
and
just,
it's unfair.
Even sort as well, you know, this weekend.
You know, yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, like, it's unfair, it's wrong, it's a bad call. And then, to go back to the first point, to do all of that and have no report, no launch, nothing, you know, to get the kids excited, to get, you know, to get the spectators excited, like, nothing. It's just like, it was soulless for all the world. We're so far behind in the promotion of the club game. It doesn't matter the level it's at. It should be pushed front and center. If you get the timing of it wrong, so be it. But make a big fanfare about the game at least. And you know, it's extremely poor. Look, let's just take our own situation, our own example. It's similar to the game Sunday. We played the semi final after the quarter final. Why couldn't they have had a double header semi final in a couple of weeks' time? You know, like, one team is in a South final now and the other semi-final won't be played for at least 2 weeks. It's not making sense at all. And I think it's another poor decision from the South Board.
But even on the promotion, I didn't know it was on until you actually said it in the chat. Like, because there's no club games on at the moment. Even if you promoted that last weekend, people that might travel to it, do a preview video, maybe come down, club game. Like, the lads will go watch hurling. Like, not fine weather or sunny day. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the other thing. Like, again, looks one of a fine setup down there. But, like, there's no standout for one of the 3 biggest games. Like, there was no standout in Monroe. The weather, June, this couple of weeks could do absolutely anything. You'd be very lucky to not get drowned at some stage. Like, it's just the facilities there could a bit more thinking about that as well.
And the other thing, Kevin, that's so frustrating about all this is weeks will go by then after this and nothing will happen. Do you know what I'm saying? So there'll be a huge rush for a couple of weeks, a glut of games, and then nothing. you know, and there won't be a, you know, there won't be a word of explanation to anybody as to why the games aren't taking place. Like, you know, and like the split season was brought in to avoid this sort of stuff. It was to give certainty. It was to give security to people. And now, you know, games are just being thrown in willy nilly. And I'm sure, I mean, I don't know, like, what, like, do the county board have any view on this? Like, surely to God, they must be looking at this going, you know, our flagship team is playing on Saturday. You know, all the efforts of everybody should be behind the senior hurlers on Saturday. And here the South Board almost going rogue on us, throwing on a heap of fixtures on Sunday. Like, it defies me. The only thing I would say, and, you know, I feel it's duty bound on all of us. We're all club and we're all members of our club. We've all been on committees in our club. There's three Southmen sitting here tonight talking about this. Is the only way to fix this to, you know, for a change in the South Board? Should, I'm not suggesting the three of us Egypts or anything, but should there be, you know, almost a coup d'etat at some stage and people go in there and sort this out? Because it's easy, you know, and I know you'll take this in the spirit it's meant, lads. It's easy to bitch and moan from the sidelines, but the only way really to change this is to radically go in there and new broom. And that's no disrespect to the lads that are in there. I don't want to be making this person. I know some of them quite well, but it's not working. It's broken at the moment and it needs fixing, you know, and like somebody needs to call that out. And it just rumbles on. Like, we've all played in the division. We've all coached and managed and have family playing in it. And it's the same SHIT every year, you know, so.
Yeah, you know. Look, I'd agree. Look, I've been at the meetings recently enough, like, and stuff, and look, what they will set out the reasons why they have to do it, because there's so few weekends left and pitches and all the rest of it. So when you're in the meetings, you kind of, you, I suppose you take your chance, because otherwise things might be played. But for me, there needs to be a lot more direction from the county saying this is the divisional weekend, because those South games, in the senior you have two rounds, in the intermediate you have three rounds, and there's no need to go that early, Colin. So like, I would agree with a lot of what you're saying. It is, you know, getting lads to kind of, needs probably just more rotation, like any committee or any board. I'd be saying, you know, the same lads doing the same things in there the whole time. But moving on, lads, I suppose, as well as our own little parish, there's also, I suppose, a bit of a crackdown GA in the terms use of the GA, and some of the social, well-known social media accounts and stuff seem to be getting shut down. Like, is this, once again, the GA being its own worst enemy? And shooting the actual people that are just trying to out there creating new content. This is the new world we live in. Social media is massive. Creating content, promoting the game, like exposing the game, the good, the bad and the ugly and all this. And they're just not with it.
Who have they shut down, Kevin?
There's some of the, I just see on Twitter there the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's called.
Stats, Gaelic Stats have had to change their name because, yeah, sorry, GA edits, or, you know, or sorry, into Gaelic edits and stuff. And
yeah,
these accounts would have 25-30k followers, and they seem to be getting shut down because of the use of the term GA in their title or whatnot.
But the GA hate these podcasts. They hate them. Like, they, like, Crow Park won't engage any of them or won't give any. But I can't understand how, because they have nothing themselves. Like, the prime example, after a draw is made on the match announced on Monday, I was trying to find out what tickets or ticket price ran. There's nothing from GA. It was all clubs or social accounts from lads being interested in the game. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, instead of someone GA's job is push the game every day, but they're not doing it. Like, that's why someone else has taken up, or other people are trying to do it, because like, people are creating content because they enjoy seeing content online. And if GA aren't doing it and now they're closing people down, what did ring Mark Zuckerberg? Hey, there isn't GA in our name. Like, and they get around the way putting G.A.A, like, or put it upside down. I don't know. Like,
yeah, or just stupid. Saying Gaelic or whatever. It just seems so petty. And again, this one might play out a bit, because, again, I think there's just the GA so far behind, as you said, in getting like the local content. Look, I don't think even the Tip County Board, I don't even think we're at the forefront of all the good stuff that's going on as well, you know, particularly in relation to like the club scene and that. So,
you know, no, our website has come in for criticism. I know, Kevin. It's, you know, the result. Like, I mean, I don't consider myself a technological whiz kid, but I'm not. You know, I can navigate my way around websites, and I find the Tipperary one's quite confusing at times. You know, you have to click into different things and you never know what day it's going to pop up in front of you. You could find yourself back in November 2021 or something very simple, very, very
under
easy.
14 C North or something like
yeah,
that.
Like, you know, so like we are our own worst enemies. But I mean, like, you know, this is something you could devote a whole pod to, but we've said this before about the promotion of the games is poor. I find the content even on flagship programs like the Sunday game to be very, very weak, if I'm being honest about it. You know, some of it is very agenda driven and it's not very, there's nothing in depth or anything about it. I mean, I'm sort of moving away from that. I thought what you might refer to, I don't do Twitter or any of that stuff. I saw something with your man Buff Egan during the week after the Munster final, roaring and bawling and abusing the referee and shouting and roaring on a terrace after a game. I don't know, did any of you see that? And it was like it was cringy stuff. Like, I mean, and this is a guy who has all these hits or likes or whatever they're called. Like, but you know, if that's what the GAA are shutting down, I'd be all in favour of it, to be honest with you, because like it's muck savage.
And then the other side of it, Buff went to Carlo on Saturday, and Jesus,
yeah, but, and told the whole world he went to Carlo, though, Kevin. You know, I mean, like, you know. We saw a guy on Premier View during the week as well who was telling us what a great Tip supporter he was because he goes to all the games. Like, you know, but anyway, look, I'm moving up. I don't mean to move the topic, but I just think the promotion of the games, whether it's in the South Board, Tip County Board, or GA nationally, as Sean said, like, it was difficult to get any kind of real facts after the draw. And even the whole thing around the venue, and no one knew when it was going to be on, no one knew where it was going to be on. Like, I don't think that helps the GAA either, and it puts a kind of a negative spin, or it puts a negativity in people's minds that shouldn't be there for, as you said, the biggest weekend in the GAA of the year coming up. And yet we're all of us are texting each other going, where is it on? When's it on? What time's it on? How much are the tickets going to be? Like, that shouldn't be happening. There should be more of a degree of certainty there. Sorry.
And just literally on something like that as well, I was listening to that news talk, Stephen Ross Wall there, since the Hogue was on it, he's finished with the Independent. And he was saying, like, in terms of sports journalism, that before he could ring a county or ring Croke Park and literally pick up the phone and ask questions, now he's afraid to ring because he gets slapped down. He can't ring a player, he can't ring a manager. He can't get content, he said. Like, you know, he's crying out for content to put in the paper and he can't get it. Like, you know, like, kind of a point he's saying that it's just kind of broken now a bit there, that contact's gone, like, people aren't being released, and our GA aren't even giving them the content to publish either, which is a killer. He's stepping away himself anyway from that side, but it's just something he made a point about this evening.
Yeah, very, very true as well. Like, there's only so many nostalgia pieces you can do and you can read on the day of big games. You want a bit more.
Yeah, and I think that analytical sort of thing is missing at the moment, Kevin. You know, if you look at the pundits, like, to be fair now, Joe Cannon has been very good this year so far. I have to say I've enjoyed him. I think Jackie Turrell is good when he doesn't have his anti-tip agenda to hammer us with. He's good. Don Logue is okay. You know, I enjoy him up to a point. The rest of them are terrible, though. I mean,
yeah, I like think shelf life as a pundit.
Yeah, you possibly do. But then you look at the RTE panel in the soccer, Kevin, and like, they went on for years, and I personally loved Dunphy, Giles and Brady, you know, and even if I wasn't interested in watching the Ireland soccer game, I'd tune into the panel afterwards to hear what they were saying, like, good, bad or indifferent. But, you know, what we have now.
Yeah,
is
but I think, like, RTE, it's apparent that they don't want that now. And
no, they don't.
That.
No, so, yeah. It's very sterilized now, Kevin, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think Joe Canning is very good because he's just after stepping away from it and he knows, you know, what they're being told in team meetings, all that sort of stuff in the dressing room, like what's the drivers and all that. So I think it's a very, very accurate and very current kind of opinion he's given on it. Whereas I think as if you drift away 10 years time, the game moves on essentially. So you might be able to kind of interpret it kind of less well. I do take your point. Jackie Terrell is good as well as that.
Bubbles is doing himself a good reputation as well with GAA Go. He's very good. Good and honest, you know, and blunt, which
yeah,
I think fantastic. Yeah, I think it's fantastic out of a pundit, like, you know, be blunt, say the words that we want to hear, not the old RTE speak, you know, like, and you know, what did he say? He said in the Waterford game, he goes, "Davy and Waterford, they hate Tipperary." You would never hear other pundits talk like that, like, you know, and I just like the honesty of it, and
I think he's good on Diego as well. I think probably the best.
Yeah, and I think
the best Limerick wonder.
Yeah, I think if you're going to be extremely biased, what's the Limerick lads?
Shane Dowd.
Sorry, lads. Don't pretend to hide it. You know, don't pretend to hide it. Embrace it at least. You know, I'd have more respect for the man then. But
I don't think Stephen, we should let a podcast go by without mentioning what a plum Shane Dowd is, because like he's an absolute plonker. Like, you know, end of the story.
Which is to see while he's there. So basically, Limerick are very successful. They need a Limerick pundit, and they just. He was just like recently, obviously had a couple of injuries and stuff, recently retired, so he got in like by default.
Yeah, but like his bias comes.
Oh,
like,
he pretends to be. There,
yeah, he'll pretend to be neutral, to analyze a match neutral, but he tries to tell us he's been neutral analyzing, but he's not. And at least if he turns around and says, "Look, lads, I'd be Limerick hat here, and I can't see nothing but green and white." Sure, I'd have a bit of respect, but don't pretend to be neutral pundit. Don't pretend to not be, you know, like if a tip man did the exact same thing as a Limerick man, he'll cover for the Limerick man and he'll scrutinize the tip man. And that's the kind of crap that pundits shouldn't be doing. You know, go after both. If you're going to highlight an incident, highlight both of them. You know, don't sugarcoat something just because he's your mate. Like,
absolutely. Right, lads, I suppose big weekend in store, so best of luck to the Camogie players and, of course, Tipperary senior hurlers this weekend. Thanks a million for that.
Thanks, Kevin. Hi,
I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.